Radio Prague News. The Czech presidency of the European Union has condemned reports of judicial executions in Iraq and has called upon the country to suspend capital punishment. Prague will not seek to host the Olympic Games in 2020, the City Council decided on Tuesday, and the Czech Prime Minister has said that he believes the country's next European Commissioner should be agreed upon only after early elections this autumn. The Czech EU presidency has condemned reports of a number of judicial executions in Iraq and has called upon the country to suspend capital punishment. In a statement, the bloc's Czech presidency called reports of 20 recent executions disturbing. It added that it was alarmed that more such executions may be planned. The international community has been calling on Iraq to suspend capital punishment since it resumed the practice after a short pause in 2004. The Czech capital Prague will not seek to host the Olympic Games in 2020, the City Council decided on Tuesday. The decision was made as part of a plan to cut the City Council's spending in light of the financial downturn. The proposal still has to be voted on by the City Assembly on Thursday, but with the ruling Civic Democrats and opposition Social Democrats both behind the plan, it's thought that it will pass with a comfortable majority. Councillors from the opposition Social Democrats condemned the amount the city had already spent on its Olympic bid, but maintained that they were behind the plan to cancel Prague's Olympic candidacy. Prague already applied to host the 2016 Olympics, but failed to make the final shortlist. So far, the Czech capital has spent some 70 million crowns, which is around $3.6 million, on its 2020 Olympic bid. Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer said that he believes the country's next European Commissioner should be agreed upon only after early elections to be held this autumn. When asked whether this would mean that the Czech Republic missed out on some of the more significant posts within the Commission, however, the Czech Prime Minister said he feared this may be the case. The two biggest parties in the Czech Parliament, the Social Democrats and the Civic Democrats, have said that they do not want Mr. Fischer's caretaker cabinet to decide upon the country's next European Commissioner, while the smallest party in the Parliament, the Greens, say that they want negotiations to start right away. According to the Czech Green Party, the post of European Commissioner should not be a cushy job for a retiring politician. The chairman of the Czech lower house, Miloslav Volček, has cancelled his second Middle East mission, though not, he says, because of the criticism he faced upon return from his first. Mr. Volček headed a European Union delegation to Israel and Palestine, among other Middle Eastern locations, last week. While Mr. Volček visited the Islamic University in Gaza last Tuesday, members of his delegation met representatives of Hamas. The Palestinian group is currently on an EU list of terrorist organisations. Speaking after the meeting, Mr. Volček said he had not known of his colleague's intentions to meet with Hamas and distanced himself from the encounter. In related news, it was revealed on Tuesday that a third Czech Social Democrat deputy attended last week's meeting with Hamas representatives in the Gaza Strip. Helena Opolitska was with former Foreign Minister Jan Kavan and Vladimir Laštovka at the controversial meeting, alongside Italian Reformed Communist MP Luisa Morgantini. A quick look at the weather now, and expect more rain this Tuesday with clearer skies into the middle of the week. Temperatures should remain constant at around 18 to 22 degrees Celsius. I'm Rosie Johnston, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, with the Czech EU presidency coming to a close, have the Czechs managed to push through some of their foreign policy goals? Prague dropped its bid to host the 2020 Summer Olympic Games. And later we look at the classical music festival held every year in Bedřich Smetana's birthplace, the town of Litomyšl. All this and more coming up, so stay with us. Czech Foreign Minister Jan Kohout will finish chairing a two-day meeting of EU Foreign Affairs Ministers in Luxembourg on Tuesday. It is the last Foreign Ministers' Council with the Czechs in charge. With that in mind, Chris Johnstone investigates just how far the Czechs have used the presidency to push their foreign policy objectives.
Presidencies are traditionally an opportunity for countries to play a bigger role in setting the EU agenda and gently pushing some of their priorities. As a former Soviet bloc country, the Czechs have traditionally championed human rights and democracy in countries where they are absent. Cuba and Belarus figured large as priorities in the past. Cuba cropped up again on the agenda of EU ministers on Monday as they held their annual discussion on what policy to take towards the Caribbean communist regime. EU countries are divided between those, such as Spain, favouring more engagement with Cuba, and those, such as the Czech Republic and Scandinavian countries, who want a tougher line emphasising human rights. So it was little surprise that the outcome was a middle line calling for continued political dialogue, but emphasising human rights and noting the lack of any marked improvement. Peter Kratochvil is Deputy Director of the Institute for International Relations in Prague. For him, the final declaration on Cuba was an example of a presidency seeking a compromise rather than pushing its own goals or ideals.
The Czech Republic was, as its diplomats expressed many times, disappointed about the ongoing absence of sanctions against Cuba, but it was during the negotiations yesterday, again, the Czech Republic remained silent on the issue. So in these traditional areas, I think the Czech Republic has not been able to push farther any of its agenda.
Overall, Mr. Kratochvil believes that those who hoped the Czech presidency would take a more strident line on human rights will have been disappointed. He says one factor has been a change in Prague's policies following the realization that the tough line with some countries was simply not paying off.
Czech diplomacy and the diplomacy of other new EU member states changed considerably in terms of being more cooperative with these regimes. We can see it most clearly in the case of Belarus, because Belarus was invited to Prague to the Eastern Partnership Summit, which was of course heavily criticized by human rights organizations and by the opposition in Belarus. But this really shows that the traditional hawkish policy of isolation was exhausted and as perceived as exhausted in the new member states.
He says another factor has been the fact that the Czech Republic has traditionally played a less prominent role regarding other countries such as Burma, Iraq and Iran. The result is a go-with-the-flow foreign policy of rather bland declarations about issues. Mr. Kratochvil adds that the arrival of a caretaker Czech government has meant even less willingness to ruffle feathers by taking a strong line. And he warns that a further dilution of the humanitarian stance could be on the cards following Czech parliamentary elections in October.
Chris Johnstone with that report. Now, the city of Prague has decided to drop its bid to host the 2020 Summer Olympic Games. City officials said on Tuesday that under the current economic circumstances, the Czech capital wanted to focus on mitigating the effects of the crisis. I spoke to Alexander Kliment of the Czech Olympic Committee to find out how he feels about the City Hall's decision.
Czech Olympic Committee respects the decision of the city of Prague. And we understand the reasons of this decision, but on the other hand, we must say that national Olympic committees must support the organizing of Olympic Games in its own country, but this project must have support of main political parties, and it must be meaningful for the country.
Prague already spent some 70 million crowns for all kinds of studies and analysis of hosting the Olympic Games. Do you think that any of that can be used in the future as well?
Yes, of course. Because this was perfect promotion of Prague. Then Prague got some numbers about organizing Olympic Games. And we can continue in this project. So this money was spent useful.
Do you have any idea about when the project might be revived? They quote, of course, economic reasons, but yeah. Do you think that once the economic crisis is over and Czech economy starts performing well again, when do you think Prague could run for hosting the Olympic Games?
I must point out that Czech Olympic Committee is not the organizer. So the organizer is City of Prague or the capital in general. So when Prague decides to revive this project, the Czech Olympic Committee in general is ready to give the support to it. So the question is not whether we think when is the time for reviving the project. The question is whether when Prague thinks it's the right time.
I was talking there to Alexandra Kliment from the Czech Olympic Committee. Now, the East Bohemian town of Litomyšl has a lot to boast of, from its UNESCO World Heritage status to its lively year-round atmosphere. Nonetheless, what this town of 10,000 most frequently boasts of is that it is the birthplace of the composer Bedřich Smetana, and since 1949 it has been the home of a major music festival that bears his name. Now, in its 60th year, Smetana's Litomyšl Festival continues to draw some of the biggest figures in classical music. Christian Falvey has more.
The opening strains of From My Life by none other than Litomyšl's own Bedřich Smetana. The gaze of this town's greatest son looks down on visitors from many a statue and wall plaque around the city all year round, but each summer his music comes to life in the opening ceremony of Smetana's Litomyšl Festival, one of the largest and oldest music festivals in the Czech Republic. It might seem strange on one hand that the country's second largest classical music festival would take place in a small town, seemingly off the beaten track. But this is a track long tread by musical tradition, as the festival's artistic director Wojciech Strzycki reminded me.
A place like Litomyšl, with such genius Lotzi, with such a tradition and history of culture and personages, musical tradition, is a wonderful place for such an event. People have always come here to listen to classical music, and the whole region is exceptional in this regard. Geniuses of international music like Bedřich Smetana, Bohuslav Martinů, Gustav Mahler, Petr Eben, a long list of composers were born within 60 kilometres of here. It's a very musical region, and Litomyšl possesses something that a lot of metropolises lack.
That something would be a stunning Renaissance chateau, a registered UNESCO World Heritage Site, and its ample stately court for concerts, the huge churches around the town that testify to its former glory as a religious center, and a plethora of ancient vaulted spaces, all of which make Litomyšl the apple of a festival organizer's eye. Moreover, the Smetana's Litomyšl Festival has conquered its own niche of the festival calendar as a traditional celebration of opera, oratorios, cantatas and song. In short, the art of vocal performance, drawing the best of the best from this country, such as Magdalena Kožená, and from the rest of the world.
Smetana's Litomyšl is subtitled as an international festival of opera, but in the past it was a kind of exhibition of the domestic opera scene. Today the festival is a completely international affair. There are musicians from 13 countries performing, and audiences consist of classical music lovers from all over Europe.
And if you are one of those classical music lovers, you still have the chance to enjoy another 3 weeks of a program ranging from opera to ballet off the ancient alleyways of Smetana's Litomyšl.
That was Christian Falvey reporting. For more details on the festival, which is underway until the 6th of July, go to our website www.radio.cz for the respective link. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where we now turn to the one thing that will really make you listen. Sex.
Cinderella cut it up one time. Ooh. Oh.
Last week saw the release of new data in an extensive ongoing study of Czech sexual behavior. Everything from how much time Czechs spend between the sheets to how successful they are. Matters of the bedroom are the subject of today's talking point. Sex therapist Petr Weiss, the professor at Charles University who has overseen the project, says among the most important findings since the survey began in 1993 is a rise in contraception use, leading to fewer unwanted pregnancies and consequently fewer abortions. He made clear back in the early 90s the situation was very different.
I think the most marked changes are in the area of contraception use. Especially hormonal contraception is used by three times more women in Czech Republic than it used to be in the beginning of 90s. And this is connected with a big decrease, a very marked decrease in the number of abortions in Czech Republic. Now we have only one quarter of the original amount of abortions. In Czech Republic before revolution, we had more abortions than deliveries. And now it's only 24% of the original state.
If that sounds like Czechs have grown more responsible in bed, well, you're right. In fact, contrary to what many in the Czech Republic tend to think about the youth today, the new generation is generally more careful about sex than their parents were, says Professor Weiss. Contrary to how it is often portrayed on TV, the age that young people lose their virginity has not gone down. According to the study, young men and women on average have sex for the first time at around the age of 18. Professor Weiss says the new generation's approach to sex is, well, more responsible, perhaps even amounting to something of a counter-sexual revolution. Professor Weiss, once again.
I think the main reason of these changes are in the possibilities, opportunities. Now, people, especially young people, they have much more opportunities, possibilities. We could travel through weekends during communism to cottages to have intercourse in cottage or to drink alcohol in cottage or to gardening in cottage. We couldn't travel. We couldn't make a career, professional career. We couldn't read what we want. We couldn't study, but our children, they can, and it is worthwhile for them to delay the marriage, to delay the delivery of the first child, to be careful, not to be pregnant, not to have infections, STDs, and so on and so on. So this is, by my opinion, the main reason of these changes.
But if young Czechs today are more careful, it isn't the result, say, of comprehensive sex education. There, Petr Weiss says the country still has a long way to go. In his view, the quality of sex education now remains highly variable, largely depending on individuals. Schools that aren't lucky enough to have dedicated workers, he says, don't have quality sex ed.
You know, this is a area where we have big reserves, because only one-fifth of Czech population says that got information about sexuality, about sex matters from school or from family. And this, and most of them, they get it from friends and peers, and we know that peers are not very reliable source of information in this area. So we have to work hard, I think, in future in this area.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
And when When it comes to Czech sex, what about those country cottages? It turns out even today they still play an important role. According to the study, 51% of Czechs experience their first time either there or in the midst of nature. The most common spot is within the family home after that, presumably when the parents are out.
In America, it is said that the whole generation was created on the backseat of Ford Model T. and of course, till now, the car is the most common place of the first intercourse in the United States. But in Czech Republic, we have the culture of cottages, of weekend houses, and it is not a big surprise that this is a place of the first intercourse in the more than half of Czech boys and girls.
Other statistics revealed last week showed, for example, how often Czechs have sex. In that respect, they don't differ from their neighbors in other parts of Europe. Professor Weiss again.
There is no difference in the frequency of intercourses or the duration of the intercourse. We know that by our results, the average duration of foreplay is about quarter of hour, and average duration of the intercourse is quarter of hour. So, and average frequency of intercourse is twice a week. So we can say that Czechs make love 1 hour in 1 week.
Still, there is a nagging suspicion this might be one area where respondents may have been a little less honest. After all, other studies have suggested that the average time spent making love is even shorter, roughly 7 or 8 minutes.
That's true that if we did real stopwatch researches, so the average time of intercourse was only 8 minutes. So 15 minutes is, I think, a little bit exaggerated.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
As for additional statistics, the study suggests that Czechs are growing more faithful than in the past, having fewer extramarital affairs, although half of the male respondents and one-third of females admit they have cheated. In terms of partners, men claim to have an average of around 9 and women around 5, meaning the truth lies somewhere in between. Pornography and commercial sex tend to play a far more important role in the fantasies and sex lives of Czech men rather than Czech women, which is also not unusual. And no sex survey would be complete without discussing orgasms, including faking them. 48% of women said they had faked them on occasion, while 21% said often or always. Interestingly, 8% of men said they faked them too, sometimes. As far as having orgasms is concerned, roughly a quarter of women said they had never had them, while almost 40% said they'd experienced an orgasm between 25 to 75% of the time. Finally, the most positive news. Those behind the study say when it comes to sex, Czechs remain highly liberal, open and tolerant, and not straight-laced, which specialists say allows for happier and healthier sexual lives.
The tolerance of Czechs in sexual questions is very high. I think the attitudes in sexual matters in Czech Republic, in Czech society, is the biggest and most liberal if you compare it with the American, British or French attitudes. So, for instance, attitudes toward premarital sex, extramarital sex, contraception, abortions, homosexuality, very liberal. We think that this is connected with the number of atheists in our society. I think this is the reason why we are so liberal in sexual matters.
Cinderella cut it up one time.
That sexy edition of Talking Point by Jan Wallinger was first aired in April of this year. And this brings us to the end of today's show here on Radio Prague. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in today's program, or if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.
How it was, and of course, how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pep?
I doubt it.
All right, then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Make any man buy pop. She uses, she got to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her date, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag, so she should have been glad. But she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed next with a check and a note. That last night was dope, dope, dope.
Take it easy now.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex.
Gonna play this on the radio.
And why not? Everybody have sex.
I mean, everybody should be making love.
Come on, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.